Hey, everybody, welcome back to the latest Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast here, the postseason edition. Yes, it's been a minute since we have graced you guys here on the Stag Sports Network, but we're going to recap Fairfield's run through March, once again winning another MAC tournament title, the second consecutive for Fairfield, the third in the last four seasons. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament experience for Fairfield, what's been going behind the scenes in the offseason as well before the group, well, for lack of better terms, hits finals, because that's coming up not too long from now, and then they get a nice deserved break away. But JJ Duke here with Coach Carly, and it has actually been a joke saying it's been a minute, but I think it's been about a month since we've last done this, as we last talked right before the Siena game on ESPNU. First off, that was a really fun experience for you guys, because got to have the glitz and the glam come out, mm-hmm. the camera shine bright here on Mahoney Arena. I did speak with one of the talent beforehand, because I got a random message on a social media platform very late night a couple days before, yeah. So that was a lot of fun getting to talk with the mothership about all things Fairfield basketball. But what has this last month been like for you, and how little sleep have you gotten?
It's been a blur. You know, we always joke that in the end of the basketball season, you know, sleep can be rescheduled, and we'll sleep in May. And so that used to be sleep in April, but now it's sleep in May because of, how the portal has changed and things like that. But yeah, I mean, we've been all over. I joked, I came home the other day after the Final Four, and I was like, I don't know that I've spent two consecutive nights at home since maybe mid-February. So, you know, we're obviously catching our breath, but it's been an unbelievable run, and with great people, and it's tons of lasting memories.
Has RJ shunned you for not being home too much?
No, he's become much more clingy.
Oh.
My dog, for those who's wondering.
Stage 5 level clinger?
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's a lot of fun, especially so, like, for those that are interested, I get like a little bit of a different perspective of like actually getting to pull myself away and become a fan of the program, and also to see what's the chaos going on. But it's really fascinating to kind of like immerse yourself and like, oh, what does the rest of the world think about not only Fairfield, but like the rest of the MAC in general? Like, okay, what do people think about the matchup that Fairfield's going to get? And then all of a sudden that Friday semifinal against the Mount made things a little bit more mm-hmm. interesting, but we got there in the end, as they say. And also just want to give a shout out, of course, to our great sponsor, the Connecticut Basement Systems, which is the proud presenter of Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast. Larry Janeski's Connecticut Basement Systems is the all things basement-y company. Basement waterproofing, finishing, foundation structural repair, humidity, mold control, nasty crawl spaces too. Call Connecticut Basement Systems today at 866-268-9002 for all things basement-y. Nailed that one on the final episode of the season. All right, so let's go MAC tournament here. The big talking point over the course of that tournament, especially on the broadcast side, the shooting peripherals. That's always a thing that comes with a Jim Whalen boardwalk call. Every team has to deal with it, though, mm-hmm. so there's no, like, handicapping one or another. But you look at – and we're not going to, like, go heavy into every game specifically, because even for you, you've already probably have – you said you barely just took the stats back out to remind yourself what happened the last few games. But we'll kind of gloss over a few – or go over a few details. And tough shooting was big across the board. I mean, the amount of games in that tournament, maybe up until – probably the final. If you hit 100 combined points in a game, it wasn't there. But, I mean, we as a team, 35% from the floor in the quarters and the semis, 3 of 25 from deep. Mm-hmm. It definitely seemed this year more than others that it was a bit more of a hamper on the group.
You know, it was interesting because I thought our quarterfinal game last year, not this season, but the previous season against Ryder, we really struggled offensively in that first game as well. And, you know, it was my first run in the MAC tournament, and everyone kind of chalked it up to, you know, a little bit of nerves. Obviously, Ryder was playing well. They had played on the court before. And this year,
you guys also just played like literally the week before as well.
And this year, you know, I think people said some similar things. Our semis, we certainly struggled in Mount. You know, credit to Mount, they did an unbelievable job. But you know, law of averages, and so we didn't shoot it well. And I know we have good shooters on our roster, and it seemed like kind of the lid came off as we went into the championship. So, you know, I think the nice thing we've always told our team and talked about with our team is that we can win in a lot of different ways. Yeah. And so our shots were not falling in a really kind of extreme and drastic way. But we dug in and played some defense and held a really good offensive team in Mount to the 40s, which was huge.
Yeah, and you look at it even a little bit deeper for Fairfield this season. Regular season, you're 13-0 and you held teams to under 50 points per game. And when you're holding your opponents to less than 50 in the quarters and the semis combined, yeah, you're going to get those quote-unquote rock fight games in the postseason. But it's that mentality of just, as you said, find a way to win a game.
Yep, and I laughed because I hadn't thought about it, but Casey Pryor's dad, I saw him afterwards, and he said, well, think about it this way. You made 3 threes in the semis, and you guys average, what, 9 threes a game? And you made, what, how many, 15 in the quarter? Yeah, just law of averages, you know, it evens out. And so I wish I'd thought about that earlier because I might have been like, oh, good, we're going to make 15 threes today. But that, you know, I think I was really proud to see how our team just kind of stuck with it. They never batted an eye. They didn't stop shooting. We do what we do.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, like, so the mentality between the games, because obviously the way that the schedule works out, Fairfield had a day off in between the quarters and the semifinals, but then only just that 24 hours between the semi and the final. I know this group is so locked in that you're not even thinking about any sort of negatives that happen between games, but like, was there even in reading body language any cause for concern or panic saying that? And you guys were getting looks, it was within your system. Yeah. The shots just weren't falling, but they're also not falling for anybody out there. Was there any signs of concern, or were they just so like, we found a way, game over, let's move?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of moved on, to be honest. You know, with the one decision that we did make, which is a little counterintuitive, this team has been really good with not doing, like, getting up early and going to do shoot around. They've been really good at, like, hotel walkthroughs, ballroom walkthroughs. We tape, like, a court on the on the floor, on the carpet, and you walk through some things there. So we had a hard decision to make that next morning. I talked it over with our captains and basically was like, look, do you want to get up at the crack of dawn to go shoot? Or do you want to do kind of stay in our routine, knowing that we hadn't shot it well, or do you want to stay in our routine and do some walkthroughs? And we stuck with the walkthrough, and apparently it worked because then we banged 15 threes. So
Hey, listen, I think for me, it all just had to open up at some point, and eventually when the floodgates open, they're just going to rush right through. I'm curious then. So for the options to shoot around early in the morning versus walkthrough. So if you guys elected to do a shoot around, just let's, you know, peel the curtain back for a second. So like, how would that have worked? Does every team get an opportunity if they choose to use the court, or maybe one of, I think you guys, there's practice courts that are available as well?
So it depends on the day. The championship game, the championship teams get to have an option. I think it was like 30 minutes on the court. I can't remember the exact interval, but the semifinals we did not because there were so many teams playing that day, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. But we did do some, you know, obviously we did do some shooting and things on the side court on in between days of practice, but it just kind of depends on the day of how the schedule lays out, if they can get every, because I think it's everybody has to have an opportunity or nobody, and that's kind of how it shakes out.
Two players I do want to give a shout from individual games in the quarters and the semis. First, Jill, coming off the bench and having won a couple of big threes. I think she finished with 13 points or maybe 14 points in that, and then Ray off the bench against the Mount, where that was, the Mount, by the way, had basically like your character development arc of a type of a tournament where they nearly get bounced in the quarters after having that Iona men's basketball 2012 huge lead of 27 points in the second half. Yeah, that one still resonates deep within my head. And then they nearly pulled off the comeback against you guys. But Ray was a player that you guys needed at that time for both of those players. Yeah.
I mean, those two have just come along all year long. I mean, for different reasons. Jill, obviously, we've talked a lot about her coming back from injury. Ray, just learning our system and learning the pace. And both of them have just stepped up in huge moments this year, ironically sometimes in the same game. But I think, you know, the fact that Ray was someone that we could throw the ball to, and it was a high percentage shot, a high percentage look. She got, you know, seconds and thirds when we were missing shots. She's a force, and she's a, our staff always laughs, like, when they have to guard her in practice or play dummy defense, it's like, you can't get around Ray. But she just played like a senior, and that's something that you could tell down the stretch. She did not want it to be over. She didn't want to take it for granted. Every moment she was just taking it in and maximizing it. So I've loved that. We've had that the last 2 years with Nikki G and then with Ray. And those two just really, I think, powered our team in a different way, where they were so hungry for it. And not that others weren't, but they never won championships like they had here. And so just to kind of ride their coattails of their hunger and their passion for doing it was really cool. And then, like you said, Jill just made some big threes. It was really cool. Again, she kind of got her feet under her the more the season went on. And that's the nice thing. We've said that about this team is that then I know we're going to talk about it, but she does that one day and then Sid does it the next. Yeah. And you've got that depth and versatility and you figure out who's got it that day.
Perfect segue. Yes. Then we go to the Quinnipiac game where the floodgates opened and Fairfield women's basketball were playing Stags basketball. Shooters, you.
Wait, we didn't talk about Lammy's clutch reverse layup at Mount.
Well, listen, she can't have all the highlights because I was going to then go that, into the
yeah,
next game.
That was pretty, yes, the, pretty clutch.
That. I freaked out for a second because I went to the same spot that I watched last year's semifinal with corner pocket on my couch.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, oh, my God, what are you doing? And then it went in. I'm like, okay, it's Lammy. It's fine.
She's clutch. She's
good.
Got the clutch team.
But then she goes off and has one of many players that goes off and has a great final where Meg goes off for 27. Boy, that had to feel good.
I didn't know she
her.
Had 27 until the press conference afterwards.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. It's like everyone was, it felt, I don't want to say balanced scoring, but it felt like everyone had big numbers.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, Meg, I always joke with people. It's like Meg Anderson, like you look up in like the second quarter and she's going to have 8 points. And then you look up 4 minutes left in the third. Wait, how does Meg have 23 already? Yep. But that's just the style that she plays. Sid goes 6 of 6 from deep. Mm-hmm. Lammy, perfect game in terms of assist to turnover ratio. Mm-hmm. It's 6 assists to 0 turnovers. And then the big recovery block on Carson Martin just to put the cherry on the top. I mean, that week is a stress. It's a bundle of nerves because it is that one-and-done mentality.
Yep.
That must have felt the biggest weight off the shoulder of every person within this group because it was back to what you guys do best.
Yes, and it was good to see us share the ball. I don't know how many assists we ended up with in that game. I can't remember off the top of my head, but you know, Lammy was playing like a point guard. She was distributing. She was taking care of the ball. The ball moved. I think a bunch of our women had said it down the, you know, down the stretch and in the post game interviews and things that we played Stag basketball again. The ball popped around. We had open shooters. We made them. But I think the cool thing again, you go back to, we defended. We held a really good offensive team in Quinnipiac to 53 points. Someone that isn't, you know, didn't have the gaudy numbers, but Kendall just D'd up Revive, who's an unbelievable player. And it was a by committee effort, but Kendall really took on that challenge and set the tone for us. She's a handful, and so I thought everyone kind of played their role and did their part, and whatever it took is what it took.
18 assists to 10 turnovers.
There you go.
By the
See,
way.
That's Stag basketball.
And you kept Quinnipiac in the negatives.
Yes.
14 turnovers for a Quinnipiac team that is equally as diligent with the basketball as you guys were. I love that you brought up Kendall, by the way, because this is I felt like March for her was the perfect kind of thing to cap off Kendall's time with Fairfield because she'll have her scoring days. But you know the baseline for her is that she is going to put an effort defensively and she's probably going to get the toughest assignment. We saw Sai get a lot of that at the early part of the season, but Kendall's always been there guarding either their first or the second best scorer. And Gal Revive is an unbelievable player and we wish her all the success in her next endeavor. 17 points, you think, oh, that's a pretty good game. It's 6 of 22 shooting, and I can't remember too many times where Gal didn't have Kendall in her pocket. If it wasn't Kendall, it was Lammy or someone else that were able to slide over and step up. So that was the perfect team defense game.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that we mentioned Ray kind of really being hungry for that end of the year. But Kendall's another one, I think. It was seniors, it hits people at different times. Yeah. I think Iza's it's hit her multiple years now because she's, you know, a seventh year. But, you know, Kendall, you could really see a shift in her early to mid-February of how she was going to kind of approach this. And she was another one that was, she became more vocal. She became more, you know, focused. She really took on the challenge. And I had been pressing our team of, like, we needed a guard or somebody that could defend shifty guards. And so I thought, you know, she was tremendous. But we took turns. Different people had Revive at different times. We rotated it around. And she just Kendall set the tone. But again, there was help side. There was people in gaps and people crowding. And it was a total group effort.
We fast forward now to the post game celebrations. You got that phone out of the way before you got doused with the water. It's just
Dr. Nemec was in that video.
Dr. Nemec was in that video. It looked like he actually got a little bit of back spray as from that.
Yeah.
So, hey, this is a man who I remember it was Coach Eric afterwards, I think at the bracket reveal party, telling me that like there's very few people that you see on the administration side, non-athletics, that's so locked into sport and basketball. And apparently Dr. Nemec's a bit of a baller. Hey, listen, you know, you ever need a practice player last moment, I bet he would give you a solid...
He gets you some rebounds.
Yeah. I was going to say 10 minutes because, hey, listen, it's the pace, but the guy can go. Yeah, so like this, the celebrations, was the phone going wild as you as it was last year for you? I mean, like, how much do you even recall of those like 24 hours between the end of the game then to the bracket reveal?
So 2 years ago, it was interesting because we made the decision to stay because the men were playing in the championship. So I don't even know that that year I got to my phone until like the next day because I was watching them and I was getting everybody organized and. And then we turned around and left the next morning to get back. And so I think it was the next morning is when I really got to respond. And then this time we went back right away. And so, you know, we had our girls did their, you know, with Coach Blake, they did Dancing Queen on the bus and they had music going and they were having a blast. And so in that moment, you know, you just kind of sit there and you soak it in and you respond to everybody. But I think the thing, if you look back 2 years ago, it was such a blur, particularly because the game was what it was, where it was an overtime game. It was like, I remember the time from when the buzzer went off to shaking hands to like being in the center with the microphone in your face and the girls are like, and it just became like this one big blur. Whereas this time it was, we got to soak it in a little bit more as it's happening. You're kind of seeing the clock tick down and you're knowing it's coming. And you really, it's just a different experience. It felt different this time. And I don't know if it's because we'd done it before, because it was a different game, all of the above. But I really just, no matter the scenario, it was really exciting and humbling to know that I have great women behind me that are doing this and a great staff around me. And regardless of the score and the opponent and all of that, it just, it's really fun when you see all of that hard work for truly like 9 months come together in that moment.
And I think also to add to that a little bit, it's every team is a different team. You have a lot of the same people that are there, but there's always going to be new stories that are going to be told. I mean, this 24-25 team, whenever they come back, there's going to be something that's different than that 23-24 team or even years past before the 21-22 team. Like everyone's got that little different note about it. So maybe to dive in slightly more, is there something that stands out in this year's team? You love every team that you coach, but what may stand out a little bit more about this group versus last year's team while both having the same amount of success?
You know, I think this year's team is different because like we have a lot of different people who have been through a lot, you know, between injuries and people out and people in and then back, you know, and there's been a lot that has we've had to overcome that most people don't know about. Maybe, you know, the obvious injuries and things like that. But there's been a lot that this group has had to work through. And so I think last year's team, it was different because it was, you know, I don't want to say easy, it's never easy, but that there was not a lot of adversity along the way, where this group has had to kind of, you know, band arms and come together. And I think that when we look back at it, this is a group that showed a ton of resilience to get to this point. And so they love each other. They I think our depth and versatility even grew from last year to this year, but I just think their resilience has really shown throughout the way.
Well, and also as well, the community were amazing in terms of like you see on social media, people posting watch parties across people just like it. And it's not also the easiest time in the world. It was a Saturday at what, 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But people were tuned in for you guys. Mm-hmm. And I know the work that you, your staff, the team, external relations as well, that get people invested in this team. I was remembering years ago, like in the old building, this is not a knock on anything in the past, but like you'd be happy if 500 or 600 people showed up. Mm-hmm. We were disappointed if we weren't getting 1,800 actual bodies in the building.
Yeah.
But it proves how much Fairfield now cares in a state that traditionally has great women's basketball, collegiate, professional, even the high school level. It's pretty awesome. But like now this community is so invested. And we saw it the following night after the championship at the bracket reveal where you have half the building that was full. And like people were there right at 7 o'clock, like waiting for the doors to be open. I mean, not to say that like it has to bring a smile to your face, but like it has to feel good knowing that people care and value about this team.
It does. And I can't thank our you know, community, our campus community enough, because our women thrive on the fact that it's bigger than basketball. And there's been so many people who have been so consistent. I think, you know, Nellie and Katie have taken, you know, the same picture 55 times, but truly that it makes it so that it's not just, you know, the 15 of us, the 20 of us, it's really for a bigger group. And we've seen so many young girls and boys who just, they cannot wait to get their t-shirt signed by Cyan or yeah. by whoever. And I think it really just puts everything in perspective of why you do it. And so it was really cool to see the selection show party where there was the whole, you know, stands behind us was full. And it just is indicative of the fact that they've been behind us this whole time.
Unfortunately, we do have to take a little bit of a downturn after this one. It's not like we want to be discussing this, but we do have to. Kansas State, it's an NCAA tournament experience, and you guys were able to hit one big goal that I know that you wanted to hit from the get-go, be the 12 seed or better mm-hmm. seed, which, again, for those that are unfamiliar, why would that be important? You don't play a natural road game in the NCAA tournament because that's the way that the NCAA women's basketball tournament is structured, where if you're seed 13 through 16, you have to play someone on their home court. So for you, before we even get into the game, how gratifying was it knowing that we accomplished this goal to be a mm-hmm. 12 or better seed in this tournament and getting an opportunity to express and showcase yourself against a team that's not playing in mm-hmm. familiar surroundings?
Mm-hmm. I mean, huge props to Coach Blake on my staff. He has worked tirelessly at our schedule for over a year. Mm-hmm. We talk about this team working for 9 months. He's been working on this for well over a year of the just the mathematics and what it takes to get into being a 12 or better seed. He's really dug into this and done research and done historical research and to figure that out. And then to get the actual opponents that you need, it's a whole nother challenge. And so he's worked so hard. I remember sitting after the selection show and be like, wow, like it's amazing all the things that have had to come together to get to this point from the schedule coming together, the wins that we had in the non-conference. Yep. Then you have to win your league, and then like all these things have to happen, and they did. And so, you know, I was excited for that, and I was also disappointed that we got Kansas State in a 5 seed, who, you know, all things considered, if Ayoka Lee hadn't gotten hurt, they were probably a 3 seed. So, a very different 5 opponent than we were probably anticipating, but still glad that we were able to do that on a neutral floor.
Reflections from that game. I mean, it's not as you said, Ayoka's a difference maker. Yep. Serena Sundell is, it's kind of strange to think she's probably the worst matchup nightmare to have, because someone
she's a 6'1" point guard.
Exactly. because I'm looking again at her stats of 18 points, 9 assists, 1 turnover, a couple mm-hmm. of steals. I mean, you could go up and down their list. There were times where our group played, like especially mm-hmm. in the first half. I know it was a little bit of a slow start, but able to pick up back into our systems in that second quarter. And you're thinking like, okay, it's a 4-possession game going to the halftime. You reset, you go. It's just, it was a different class of team that you guys were playing. And probably mm-hmm. again, and we're not going to say it's a hard luck, but that's the way that the mm-hmm. draw happens. You have to play the team that's in mm-hmm. front of you. But it just, it really put a, for me, at least, a little bit of a sour note to what yeah. was an awesome season.
For sure, yeah, you don't want to end on that. And the fact of the matter is, now that we have, you know, kind of 3 postseason tournaments, there's only 3 teams that get to end on a win, and don't feel that way. But, yeah. You know, I wish we had had a little bit better of a showing. We knew we were going to have to shoot well. Our advantage was going to be that we were going to be able to stretch out some of their bigger post players like Lee and shoot threes, and we didn't shoot it well. So that's thing number one. I don't think. You know, are they that margin of victory better than us? No, I don't think we had a great showing. But, you know, shout out to them. I said after the game, I was like, that team's going to make a run. And they were, you know.
They did.
They were very close yeah. to making an Elite Eight appearance. So, you know, I do think that you look at Sundell, I think she's a pro. You know, Lee, I think I said is she's going to kind of go into her career life now, but she could have been a pro. 6'7" is not something you see every day or most days. And so I think that it was a really tough matchup size-wise. They were big across the board and certainly provided a lot of challenges because of that.
Does, in the reflection within the group afterwards, one game doesn't define who you are, right. but it does. It is that lasting memory mm-hmm. that you're going to have, which it shouldn't be that way, because you should be remembering the positives mm-hmm. that come from, at least I try to live that sort of mentality. But like, when you've had opportunities, because we'll speak about a little bit in terms of like what has happened the last couple of weeks since that game, but like, what has been the vibe with the team? Is it more just disappointment? Is it, oh, like that wasn't who we should have been? Or is it like, okay, that's the way that the ball just kind of rolls. And some days you have it and some days you don't. And unfortunately, just was the day that you guys didn't have it.
No, I think this is a team that's hungry for growth. And it feels a little different than maybe this time last year when we were talking about Indiana. And I think there was things that were in our control that we didn't do the best job of, just as far as, like, you know, moving the ball, digging in. I thought in the second half in particular, I won't say we gave up, because I think that's too harsh of a statement. But I think there was times that we were a little defeated, and I think it showed in just our ability to keep working harder for longer on the defensive end. And I think for us, we have to continue as a coaching staff, kind of input adversity where they're used to being in moments where you might be down 15. We weren't down 15 really at all this year.
Yeah.
Other than maybe all the way back to Richmond, our second game of the year. So kind of finding ways to put adversity in front of us. And then I think our team has really, you know, done some self-reflection, some reflection as a group of how we can take steps forward and be better because of it.
So, I mean, this does kind of segue into, like, the next steps for the returning roster. I mean, and I'll still stand by, one day does not define what a team was. This Fairfield team ended this season with a record of 28 wins and 5 losses. It's you don't have many. You talked about how there's only 3 teams that play their last game to win, but there's not many teams out there that win the amount of games. Heck, there was, I mean, I'll revert to this because we're recording on Wednesday, April the 9th. Literally yesterday, there is a college baseball doubleheader between 2 Division III schools. One team hadn't won a game in 99 games, and one team hadn't won 42 games. There's a lot worse situations out there. So, but with that being said, so now you guys have, like, exit meetings with your players. It's almost, it is kind of like a job, right? So you kind of assess the year as a whole. You look into the development for the offseason when the group comes back. So in these meetings, how much do you guys just go on this one game, or how much do you guys look at the grand scheme of things, saying this is this development over the year, this is what we're hoping that you can take in your next steps with us, and then this is where we hope to have you be in the summer? Is this something that kind of runs along those lines?
Yeah, so, you know, I think we're a little bit different. I think a lot of people nowadays with the portal are, like, scrambling to do these meetings right away, and because they're afraid people are going to leave. I feel so fortunate and grateful as a coach that, like, I know the group that I have in my locker room. Like, this group wants to keep working, and so we gave them a little bit of time. Like, we gave our returners over a week to kind of just take a deep breath, get a little bit further away from, you know, the game against Kansas State, because you do want to take the whole picture into account. You don't want it to just be soured by, yes, there's things we can learn from this, but there's a lot, to your point, a lot of good that happened, and be able to take the good with the bad. So we let them breathe for a little bit. We did do our senior meetings probably like 5 days after we got back, just because we know we're trying to help them make sure that they're, you know, getting their agents for overseas. They have their ducks in a row. Kendall's looking for coaching jobs. So we kind of wanted to get those guys as quickly as possible so we can be as helpful as possible. But took all of that information and really, like, I believe in being very transparent in these meetings and take the good with the bad. You're not going to get any better or have a growth mindset if you're only looking at the good and you're only looking at the bad. So we really kind of did a deep dive of what player development looks like over the next however many months, and what personal development, because a lot of it is us just continuing to be the best versions of us as people. So really did all that, and then we gave them obviously a couple of weeks off. The coaches went to the WBCA convention in the Final Four, did a bunch of learning, professional development, and then we had our first team meeting yesterday, so we kind of get back to it as we grow and we keep going.
And we've covered what, like, the next steps are this time last year, actually. Like, so the group has individual workout opportunities, or, like, maybe small group opportunities. The group then as a collection returns in June, is
yes, mid-June.
Okay, so it's really more about, I guess, recovery right now, looking over film and stuff, and there's only a certain amount of hours that you, the coaches, can be with the athletes. So how much is it right now of just, like, obviously they're also students as well, so they have to finish up their last couple of weeks of the semester, but how much of a drop in communication, I guess, is there from this off season from where you guys were a couple of weeks ago?
I was intentional to try to give them all, like, a true break, because we've been going a long time. So I tried not to over bother them over the last couple of weeks, really giving them a couple of weeks to be regular students and go to class and do what they needed to do. And so now it is a little bit of a recovery time. We get about 4 hours on the court and 4 hours with Coach Dave in the weight room and doing some, you know, running mechanics and conditioning if I'm not exactly sure if that's on the docket yet, but doing some things with him on the court, some agility work. And so it will definitely be ramped back. And it's going to be a little bit more focused on maybe details and little things that we can take the time to do now. But it's you know, for us, we're also going to be working really hard to build a solid foundation for new people to come into. You know, we're going to add freshmen and we're going to add a couple transfers. And so I think that's something that we've each year been very focused on, getting this current group as strong as possible so that everybody else is coming into a group that's like ready to hit the ground running and really ready to kind of set the standards and help those new guys understand what it takes, our standards, our the way that we play, and have that as closely knit as possible.
Yeah, you speak about the new group coming in. So obviously, well, one is already here, and Kiara. I guess I'm curious then. So, like, how do you treat her specifically, knowing that she has been with this group since January, practices with the team every day, but is the quote, you know, redshirting this season? So, like, how was that experience for her? Because she hasn't played a competitive game of basketball.
Yeah.
And when I say competitive, I mean like an actual game in quite a while. But now all of a sudden she's experienced all this.
It was fun to talk to her in her end of the year meeting because she did. I mean, she learned so much. She's really thankful that she came. And I'm glad she came because she got to really experience all of the madness without actually having the pressure of going to do it. And so, you know, I think this is going to really help her going forward. It was drinking out of a fire hose for a little while while she was trying to take in a lot of information and habits and how hard it is day to day. But I think for her, she is really she's come a long way, both on the court, off the court, handling her business, how to be a college student, how to be an adult. And so I'm excited for her.
And then Christina and Mila will join in due course. And then you said the T and the P word, the transfers and the portal. Is it always a little... Well, no. I mean, we've had the portal now for a few years, but when you open it up for the first time, it's like, oh my goodness, the amount of names.
Yes, it is. It is a little overwhelming, but I'm usually filled with gratitude in that because we don't typically have the, you know, knock on wood, have the issue of we're having to reload and rebuild a full team. Like some people are, their whole team is in the portal, and you're now needing to recruit, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 new people. And I always see it with an ounce of gratitude of this group really is special. You know, and we've always been really fortunate because Fairfield, and again, you look at the women on our team, they choose Fairfield for the right reasons. It's the right school. It's the right education. It's the right people. It's the right style of play. So we get to now use the portal as adding a piece or two, a couple. Like we've had wonderful, you look at our roster, I mean, Amina and Kendall and Ray and Iza, like our four seniors were all transfer. Sid, you go down the line, Jill, and you have these people that really have added such value and they fit and they fill a need and a void. And so we've been able to be really picky in freshmen of getting the right freshmen. And then if we don't get the ones that we want, we can save it for a portal and get, someone that fills that void now. So we don't have to maybe take a B-list kid or a second string. We're like, they might be able to help us. I want people that can come in I know can compete for playing time. So we get to strike a really good balance there.
Absolutely. And it's also like they're shopping, but you're shopping as well because you're looking for a piece. And while we're not going to ask for information because there's certain things that we can and cannot talk about, the roles at least we can discuss. So obviously with the players that you said that are departing, so you're looking at potential couple wings, a roadrunner in there as well. That's kind of going to be the area that I know that we're going to be lacking a little in returners. Is that it that Fairfield are looking for outside of, oh, we see this person, they're a great fit, we can make room for them?
Yes. For us, one kind of big step we want to take is continue to get bigger, like 3, 4, 5. And you're not going to get, 6, 7 Ioka Lee, but we know, with Iza, who's a big guard graduating, Kendall, she likens to think of herself as a big guard. She's fairly big, but she thinks of herself as a mini meep. So we want to get big wings and people that can continue. You look at a team like Richmond that we struggled with. They had, kind of normal, quote unquote, normal size point guards. And then they were big 2, 3, 4, 5. And so that's a kind of, Gonzaga's kind of built their team the same way. So that's kind of us. We feel like we can make some immediate jumps in getting some bigger wings. We know we need to obviously continue to add depth at the Roadrunner position with Amina and Ray graduating. And so those are kind of our areas of need.
Another team that thought South Dakota State as well, similar to that style. So, what a season they had. Yes. I know Blake was super high on their season. It's nice to see again, as I said, like removing yourself from calling games to then all of a sudden like seeing what the rest of the landscape, the amount of teams from those quote unquote one bid leagues that like are just as equally as good as Fairfield, if not stronger in some areas. And it's nice to see that those teams are having success. Long may that continue. And hopefully it comes to Fairfield as well next season.
Yeah. I mean, those, and you think about it, I'm going to butcher the actual number of years, but like those coaches have been there a long time.
Yes,
you look at Aaron, he's been there forever at South Dakota State. Aaron's been, I think, at Richmond 6 or 7 years now, and Gonzaga's coach has been there 10 years now. So I think I'm excited about what's ahead of us because we still have room to grow.
And a three-bid Ivy. I remember, and this actually, I think it was right around the end of your playing days as well, when Princeton had that perfect season and barely got a 9 seed in the tournament.
Everyone's
now that
mad.
We're thinking that, three teams are getting in. Hey, it can happen.
Yep.
Any league, if you have a couple awesome teams, they could get there. You spoke of the convention, which was down in Tampa. So you and the staff were there, and also we mentioned that Kendall was was taking part in the So You Want to Be a Coach program. First on her, have you had opportunities to get some feedback from her about her experience?
Yes, she loved it. She was just up in the office this week. She really enjoyed, the networking. They got to listen to different people speak. She got to network with other future young coaches, and she crushed it. It's been so cool to see her just kind of glow. She's going to be a great coach. So I know she's kind of diving through some GA opportunities, some support staff opportunities. So if anybody's still looking, give me a call. She's fantastic.
Yeah, I was about to say, so it's not, obviously it's like the GAs. If you look at more like the other sports and how players can become coaches, it's usually that GA role or the director of role. How likely, maybe for those that are not as familiar, that players exiting their senior year can get an assistant spot right away? Or is it more looking for that, breaking into the role opportunity?
Yeah, usually that breaking in role. I think it's really hard to go right from being maybe 21, 22 into now being in that coaching role. But it's not unheard of, but it's definitely a lot harder. That GA, maybe, like you said, director of ops role, maybe an intern role. Like there's a player development, video. Those are kind of the typical stepping stone spots.
Also should give a shout out to our GA, Aislinn, who's going to be departing us after the season. You mind just speaking a little bit about her? I'm sad we never got to have her on this platform, but like what has her experience been like with us? And I know she wants to get in, involved and stay involved with the game.
Yeah, so Ace, if you've seen our TikTok, if you've seen some of, not all, but some of our social media graphics, that she kind of shares that responsibility with our sports information department, but our recruiting graphics, she has just crushed the creative side of things for us and really allowed us to be a big-time program in that way, because some of those programs have 3, 4, 5 people that are manning the creative side, and she's been crushing it just as one person. So she, not only that, but she helps on the court, she helps rebound, she helps out with our managers, she travel and all the operation stuff. She's had a kind of a hand in everything. So we're certainly going to miss her. Again, if anyone's looking, she wants to kind of go into the creative marketing side. So if anybody needs somebody there, she's great.
To you guys and your session on the court, which I saw was standing room only. It was called the Shooters U Sprint Space Scoring Efficiency. It's an on-court session that you guys ran. Take us inside a little bit for those that were unavailable to get down there. What was that like for you guys, and what were you guys looking to accomplish from that experience?
The WBCA does a really good job with kind of programming at the convention. So you can go to roundtables, you can go to panels, and then the on-court sessions are a popular one. And so they asked if we would do one. We said absolutely. And so it's a 30-minute on the court. It's really fast, actually. It moved pretty fast. I felt like I was flying through stuff. So I hope it was actually helpful for people. But we just talked kind of about our five out. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to continue to learn from each other. Nick, nobody's reinventing the wheel at this point in the game. And you're just kind of taking bits and pieces for what works for your team. And so I'm hopeful, and I hope that it was able to help somebody maybe take a little bit of this or an idea and use it for their team. And again, my staff was there with me just crushing it and getting, we had a few, not a ton of demonstrators, so I had to like pull out former players that were there as coaches.
I was about to ask you, so I've been to soccer conventions where they have those similar on-field, and you usually get like an under 14 team that's like in the area, or maybe like some high school players. So like, were they basically just giving you players?
And there wasn't as many as there was the day before. So we had to, like I said, we had to kind of be creative. I think the day before there was like 10 demonstrators and we had like three. So we were like pulling out young people, and I pulled out Victoria Vivians, who played for me in Mississippi State. Maya Taylor, Sydney Lowry came out and joined us. Dana was there. So we just pulled out a bunch of bodies to make it work.
How is Sydney, by the way? It's been
She's
a minute.
Great. Okay. She's doing great.
I'd love to see her back up here at some point. You know, is a MAC champion. Yeah. Yes. Fairfield. Yep. Okay, so hey, love to hear that. And did you get down to any of the games?
We didn't go to the games. Okay. We did some other things around that, and we actually came back Sunday morning.
Okay, fair enough. So you got to watch UConn take care of business on the couch. Lastly, the final note that I have, but one that's fairly important, because if you want to watch a Fairfield now recent alum of the program, you don't have to wait too long, because Iza Nicoletti Leite is going to be playing for Brazil again in very unique exhibition games. It's going to be part of this preseason WNBA tour, where a number of teams are going to be playing at their marquee players' alma mater's facilities. So Brazil are going to be playing against Chicago at the Pete at LSU, which is obviously Angel Reese's return. That's on Friday, May the 2nd. Then 2 days later, going to be playing at Carver Hawkeye against Caitlin Clark.
He's just guarding Caitlin.
Stop it. Wait, seriously?
I mean, maybe. Probably at some
point. I mean, obviously, we heard that she was selected in the pre-camp. This was when we were still here, like playing in the regular season. But when she got the news, I mean, A, were you there with her? And B, what have you talked about since then?
She called me. I can't remember at what point we were in our kind of travels around the world, but she called me, and it was we were just so happy for her. This has really come full circle for her to get back to this moment and to see her healthy and thriving and be able to go and literally play in her dream of playing in a WNBA game. So I am actually going down to the LSU game. I already have my tickets, just bought my flights last night, bought my tickets like 2 weeks ago. I know a bunch of her teammates are going to be, some are going to be there, some are going to be at Iowa to support her. And you know, we're really proud of her.
And it's two opportunities for her as well, because one, this is a chance to get ready for the AmeriCup that comes, a month after that down in Chile. Actually, also interesting, I think it's the same facilities that she played in the South American Championship last year. And also, let's face it, people are going to be there to watch the big WNBA stars. Yeah. But people are going to be seeing Iza on the floor as well. This is an opportunity for her that really not too many players get to show out against the world's best.
I think, and she's obviously going to go play overseas. That's her goal. And so that will play into that. But she also wants to, look forward towards the Olympics. I mean, I think that's this is kind of the time where you kind of have an idea, where it's still a little ways away, but have an idea of what those teams are gonna look like, what those opportunities are gonna look like. And so I know she has a lot of pride just in playing for her country, but I know, she's not ready to hang it up.
No, not at all. Hey, listen, all of a sudden LA's come a little bit closer every day.
Might be a Tebow and with my dad coaching the Belgian team there too. There could be a whole stag reunion.
Listen, that, I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat. I already got family that lives out there anyway, so sign me up for a couple of weeks in LA. And I guess for you, hey, now all of a sudden you can't sleep yet. Still got another month. But is it going to be nice knowing that all of a sudden you might be able to return back home at like a normal hour and you get to actually enjoy life maybe for a little bit?
Yes. We, in May we get a little bit of a week vacation. We're actually at the beginning of that is when I'm going to go see Iza at LSU. And
she's still working even when off.
Yes. So I have to go see my girl. And then, we'll take a little bit of vacation. I told my husband, Blake, on my staff, I said, I want to go somewhere that's guaranteed to be warm. So we're going to Phoenix for a few days.
Ooh, love that for you guys. Well,
some vitamin D.
Speaking outside when it's like 35 out in mid-April, it's nuts. Carly, thank you so much. I know obviously this is a very busy time for you and the staff, but all the best in the off season. And we'll pick this up back in the fall.
Thank you so much. Go Stags.
Go Stags. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Fast Break with Coach Carly podcast, presented by Connecticut Basement Systems. Thanks to everyone listening at home and your support all season long. And make sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms, including on Instagram at Fairfield WBB. We will talk to you all next time. Go Stags.